Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you as I did with the kids. Today I'm going to talk to you about the reading that we just heard from the Gospel of John and Mary Magdalene's meeting with Jesus. So I have a confession to make, and that is when I started to come back to church in my early 20s, having left for various reasons for quite a while. Went to an Anglican church, which was new to me. And I discovered they have something in Anglican church called the Creed. And specifically, the parish I was attending, they had something called the Nicene Creed, which they recited every Sunday. And, you know, I was trying to be open-minded. I was okay with the Father part. I would create, you know, the Creator, et cetera, et cetera. I was okay with the Holy Spirit part because that's suitably vague. I was even okay with the Holy Catholic Church part because, well, here it is, we're in church, right? So no arguing with that. I had a lot of trouble with the Jesus part. You know, where you have to kind of say, I believe I'm in this and I believe in that. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. It's a little dry this time of year, right? Little problem with Jesus' part. And so, you know, I'd go along because I would say it because, well, trying to fit in, I guess. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe if I say it enough times, I'll understand what it is. But I kept kind of going, well, it's terrible things to say. But anyway, well, what's so special about him anyway? And so with the resurrection, Pyrrhus says, you know, he rose from the dead. I was studying religious studies at the time, which is not theology, it's study of all religions. I was studying religious studies at the time, and I think I came up with some extremely sophisticated way of understanding what the resurrection was. It didn't actually involve Jesus raising from the dead. So I could say it, but I didn't mean what everybody else there meant by it. And that was the part that really was a real struggle for me, saying, I believe in Jesus, saying he's God, human, like the whole thing. It just was like, why him? So I'm thinking about the reading today, and I'm not accusing the disciples and Mary Magdalene being one of the disciples, I'm not accusing them of lacking in faith in any way. It's not the equivalent I'm making, but they, as you see here, they are scattered. That's the word that Jesus used. In John 16, he says, the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will be scattered. Among other things, that meant that they were in a state of uncertainty as to who Jesus was, right? They thought they knew who he was, but as the two disciples towards the end of the Gospel, Luke, say to Jesus, who they don't know is Jesus, yeah, we really thought he was going to be the salvation of Israel, but you know what? He turns out to not have been that important, basically, to paraphrase him, and we're a little confused. So they were in a bit of state of uncertainty about who he was, as to who he was to them, because they knew him, as to who they were to each other, and so they were scattered. That's the word John uses, and it's a very intentional word. Think about what it means, because he's using the imagery of sheep and shepherd. Think of what it means to be scattered if you're a sheep, and you're in a herd, and the herd is scattered. Well, before you're scattered, I keep thinking of the theme from Cheers, excuse me, you know, where everybody knows your name, right? You go where everybody knows your name. It's kind of like everybody knows your name when you're in the flock, right? The shepherd, at least, Jesus says, shepherd calls the sheep by name, knows their name. The sheep know each other in relation to being part of the flock. And if you're scattered, you go from everybody knows your name to nobody knows your name. You don't know who to follow. You don't know the people that used to follow this person with you. doesn't make any sense to follow him anymore. You don't understand. And it's not an uncommon experience. I think all of us have been through this at various times in our life. Maybe some terrible loss, maybe even having to relocate. Think of a million different things it could be, but you feel scattered. That is, the things you used to know, you don't know anymore. Your sense of yourself has changed. Just the sense of being known has changed. And that's the state that the disciples are in. As I said to you earlier, we've been reading through John, and in John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I know my sheep, and I call each of them by name, and they follow me. And that's why they follow him, because he recognizes them. So how is Jesus, who is risen from the dead, going to regather his scattered sheep? How, when we're scattered, are we gathered together again? How does that happen to us? Again, I should say. Yeah, how does that happen to us as well? Everybody like the movie The Ten Commandments? Not very enthusiastically. But people not watch that anymore? Yeah. Nobody watches it anymore. That and Humphrey Bogart. Nobody remembers them at all. And it was a great movie when people did watch it. But it was a big, it's about the Exodus, big Cecil B. DeMille pyrotechnic thing, like it's amazing cinematography, huge waves, it's amazing. So what Jesus does not do when he makes himself known to his disciples is, you would think if you're going to raise from the dead, you might do something pretty impressive, right? But he does not go the Cecil B. DeMille route. He does not do some huge, awesome thing and burst into flames or something. What he does is something else altogether. And we heard what it is today. What he does to gather together his scattered sheep who've lost the sense of themselves, lost the sense of who Jesus is, and they've lost the sense of who Jesus is this. What does he do with Mary? You just heard it. What does he do with her? He speaks her name to her. And what does that do? It tells her that she is recognized by him. And because she has a sense of being recognized by him, she recognizes him in return. So St. Gregory the Great, no relation, back in the 6th century, says this to Mary Magdalene. He's imagining talking to Mary Magdalene. He says this: recognize him who recognizes you. Very important. Recognize him who recognizes you. She knew him simply because she was known by him. So I think about myself back in the day. And one of the things, if you become an Anglican, one of the things they want you to do is start reading Book of Common Prayer. They want you to start reading the morning prayer sometimes, or evening prayer. And they want you to start reading the Psalms, right? And I came across this psalm. And it's Psalm 139. I don't know if you remember it. I remember reading it. I don't know if it was for the first time, but the first time that struck me. Psalm 139 says this: you search me out and know me. You know my rising up and my sitting down. You discern my thoughts from afar. Before a word forms on my tongue, you know it altogether. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain to it. I remember, and this is unique, I know the same things have happened to everybody in this room in all kinds of ways, but for me, at that moment, when I read that, I knew that I was known by God. I was suddenly aware of it, reading that psalm. The other thing that happened, and again, this is not unique to me, it's all of us have had this similar experiences in our own unique ways. And that is, I discovered this thing called the Eucharist. And I discovered at the Eucharist that there was this presence on the altar. And this presence on the altar was Jesus. And my experience of that presence on the altar, called Jesus, was that he knew me better than I knew myself. Didn't think my way there, didn't with my sophisticated religious studies, reasoning, get myself there. It was just simply, suddenly it was as if he'd spoken his name to me and said, I know you. And that is all the proof I needed, that I could say that part of the creed and that Jesus is risen from the dead. This is something from, it's a deep theological insight, but it's, nonetheless, it's still helpful. And it's this. Jesus, it was wonderful when Jesus was with us physically, but he is with us even more perfectly now that he is risen from the dead. When he was with us physically, he could be present to people one at a time. But now that he has risen from the dead, in prayer, in the reading of Scripture, in the Eucharist, celebrated in a million different altars across the world, to 2.5 billion of us, he is present to each of us simultaneously. His presence is more perfect now, because now he can say to each of us, every Sunday, every day, every minute of the day, I know you and I delight in you. Jesus calls each of us by name, as he did Mary Magdalene. He knows each of us. He is perfectly present with us, and he delights in us. If we take away anything from Easter Sunday, it's this. Let us listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd speaking our name to us. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took on flesh and became one of us. Thank you that you descended to the depths of human suffering and sin to overcome their power in our life. Thank you that you rose from the dead, not for your own sake, but for our sake, so that you could be triumphant and so that you could be present to each of us each moment of the day, to every one of your sheep throughout the world, and gather us together into one fold. We offer you this prayer in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.